Welcome to the Landmark Apostolic Church podcast. We hope that this message inspires you and brings impact to your life. Enjoy the message.
Wonderful presence of the Lord in this place today. We're going to be, if you want to go ahead and turn in your Bible, we're going to be in Psalms 23 again today. Last week we were chatting and discussing some things. And this morning I want to talk to you just from this title, The Table. Everybody say The Table. The Table. I'll open it up. I miss going out to eat. I do. Now, not to say that we don't ever go out to eat, but when you have three little humans that you're in charge of, it's not a question of how long is the wait. Is there a wait? You know what I'm saying? Because to try to keep them entertained and distracted until our table is finally ready is a chore and a tough chore at that. And so, but I can remember, I was thinking about this, just, it used to be fun, right? Before, I'm not saying children aren't fun, but you get what I'm saying. Friday nights used to be the night, right? We're going to go out to dinner. We're going to go and I was thinking about all the, we're big foodies and we like to go and we like to try new places. Not that I like to experience too much food and like try weird things, but we like to try new places and see what those places are like. But I can remember back in the day just going out to eat and places and waiting and getting hit with, hey, it's going to be 45 minutes before we sit you at a table. We went, where was it here recently, Kansas City, and we tried to go and eat at P.F. Chang's, and it was a holiday weekend, I will give them that, but when you say 15 to 20 minutes, it better mean 15 to 20 minutes, right? An hour and a half later, I finally had to say, we're going to withdraw our name. We're leaving, and that's how long we waited. I'm still upset and bitter at P.F. Chang's for that, so God forgive me. But we joke about it to this day. I think the very next day, we're like, have they called yet? Is our table ready? You know, but can you remember those times of going out to eat and stuff and being put on the wait list and all excited, right? And I think about the Cheesecake Factory is a perfect example of this. You're excited to be there. You're excited to try something and just be out and just be enjoying each other's company and you're going to eat some good food. All of a sudden, they say your table is ready. They walk you through the restaurant only to be set right next to someone or very close or just the seat is absolutely terrible. And Cheesecake Factory, they literally set you like right beside another couple where you almost have to whisper over your meal. I think about hibachi grills are kind of like if you want to enjoy the hibachi grill, if you go as just two, you're going to be sitting with some random people, right? But so I recommend hibachi grill, take a large group of people and get your own hibachi grill. It's just, I don't know. You know, you'd think I would just like to interact with it. Now, when I go out to eat, I just want to fellowship with my wife or my family. That's it, really. I don't really want to be chatting about the weather with somebody I don't really know over chicken and rice. But you get walked through, and all of a sudden, you get to the table, and it's like, it's not really what I was expecting. I was expecting something a little bit better. I didn't really want to be right by the kitchen door where they were in and out, banging chairs and doors and silverware and plates and all that. Last week, we were chatting about Psalms 23 and how it's probably the most famous passage of Scripture in the Bible. And so this morning, I kind of want to hone in on verse 5 of that same chapter, because I think that verse 5 of Psalms 23 is one of the most powerful verses in all of Scripture. This is what the psalmist writes, and it's an amazing twist that we find. Verse 5 of Psalms 23, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Now, I am not necessarily a writer, okay? in my line of work, I get the opportunity sometimes to write some language into contracts that are being negotiated back and forth. And it can be fun sometimes. It can also be challenging. At times, I do my best to put my lawyer hat on and write as if I were one. But I know that what the intent of a paragraph or the intent of a clause should be. But finding those lawyer words, right, is sometimes rather difficult. And if you ever take the time to read contracts, you know exactly what I'm saying. It can get easy to get lost in the verbiage. And more often than not, I have to get others in the room with me and say, hey, how does this need to be written? This is what I'm trying to say. This is the intent. Or get others in the room and saying, what is the customer trying to say here by wording this? Because I don't want to contractually obligate our company to do something that is just not in our best interest. And so looking at verse 5 of Psalms 23, I'm sure that if I had written this verse, I think I would have written it differently. Yes, I agree. God is going to prepare a table for me. Love that part. We can keep that part, but here's where I probably would have made the change. I think that this table that is being prepared for me should just be in God's presence. Not the presence of my enemies. That's not, my enemies aren't even getting an invitation to this. I don't even want them to know that this thing is going on. I don't even want them to know about the meal. If I'm the writer, yes, let's get the table just for us, God. Let's sit together. Let's sit in the corner. Let's have this meal together. Let's sit and let's fellowship. I'll sit back and I watch while you just knock all my enemies out. Amen. But I don't want them anywhere near me while I'm sitting at this table that you prepared for me. But I'm not the writer. You're not the writer, are you? And that's not how the fifth verse of Psalms 23 is written. God has prepared a table right in the middle of battle. Yes, you have the most amazing food that has been prepared and set out in front of you on this table, and the food is all good and it's good to eat, yet that table is sometimes set right in the midst of a hospital room trying to find some answers. God Almighty has set out the silverware. He set out the plates. He's invited us to come to dine with him, to fellowship with him, yet that table is sometimes right in the middle of a family being torn apart. It's right in the middle of relational tension and career stress and stress about your job. It's directly at the center of the hardships and the arguments, the misunderstandings and persecutions, the depression and the anxiety. Whatever we are battling internally or externally, the table is set right there in the middle of it all, in the middle of the trouble and the conflict. See, when you see the term table in the scripture, it's typically used as a figurative expression for several things: salvation, peace, God's peace, God's presence. If you were a Jewish person who was reading this, you would immediately make the connection and know the significance of being invited to sit at someone's table, especially the table of the Lord. And you go all the way back before the incarnation, right? Before God put on skin and bones and moved into the neighborhood, came near. His presence was represented in various ways in the Old Testament. You find him, his presence being represented by a cloud, in another place fire, in another place smoke. At one point, God gave instructions for a tabernacle to be built. And this would be the place where sinful man would come and meet with holy God. And there are all sorts of items that are placed in the tabernacle. I don't have time this morning to work through each one of them, but one of the items that was placed in the tabernacle was a table. And on that table was to be placed the bread of the presence. Exodus 25 says, "You shall set the bread of the presence on the table before me at all times." And today, God is still inviting us to sit at the table that He has prepared. And all are welcome to the table. There may be some that are tempted, you know, when we read something like this, oh, this must just be for those who have been in this a long time. This table must be for the good people. This table must be for the church people. But, you know, I've made too many mistakes, Bryce. God surely isn't preparing a table for me. Listen to the words of the prophet Isaiah when he said, "The Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich food for all peoples." Everybody say all peoples. All peoples. All are welcome at the table. It doesn't matter if this is day one for you or day 10,000 for you. You are welcome and invited to the table that God has prepared. Amen. But I will have you know that this table described in Psalms 23 and 5, it is a table of fellowship. It is a table that is meant for only you and the good shepherd that we talked about last week. And if you are willing to be led by him, you are invited to dine at this table. Eating together as a family has always been something that Mallory and I have been adamant about. I can remember all the way back to when we were dating, one of the very first things that we did for her family to get to know me was having me over for dinner. I still remember it was lasagna all those years ago. Even after we were married, we still ate dinner over at the Rices maybe twice a week or something like that. I mean, which didn't bother me a bit because, I mean, when we weren't exactly setting the world on fire financially. So a free meal here and there was like winning the lottery, man. This is free food. Isn't it funny to look back on how when you first got married and stuff, like, why did we get married? We were broke. We couldn't, but back then you didn't know it. You didn't feel it, you know? You just make it work, right? Yeah, living on love, buying on time. Little Alan Jackson reference there, but. So now that we have our family, right, and we're eating together, we're sitting down at the table together, it's so important to us as a family. It's where we get to fellowship with one another, talk with one another, ask about everybody's day. One thing that we've done for a while now is best and worst. What was the best part of your day? What was the worst part of your day? And our boys aren't allowed to leave the table until, one, they've eaten their food, right? And two, they've said what their best and their worst was. And those questions are what? Conversation starters, right? They're breaking the ice. It helps us to go deeper than, did you have a good day? Yes. Did you have a good day? Yes. Let's move on, right? It gets to the heart, right? Where you can get in and get to fellowship and meet with, it gets us talking. I realize that there are other places in society where we can grow physically, academically, socially, emotionally, but did you know that decades of research concludes that eating together is the only single activity that is known to provide all of those at the same time? The benefits of eating together as a family are scientifically proven, and you could go down through the list of all of those benefits of better academic performance, higher self-esteem, lower risk of substance abuse, lower risk of depression, bigger vocabulary for preschoolers, healthier eating patterns, and the list goes on. What is amazing to me is how small of an act it is. Just eating together. And it requires very little of us, 45 minutes away from our usual daily distractions. And yet it's one of the happiest parts of my day. There are a lot of times that my best is simply saying, this right here is my best. It's the best part of my day. Sadly, Americans rarely eat together anymore. In fact, the average American eats one in every five meals in their car. One in four Americans eat at least one fast food meal every single day. And the majority of American families report eating a single meal together less than 5 days a week. I say it's sad because so many are missing out on what could be a meaningful time with their loved ones, people that are important to them. And it doesn't happen all at once. It's not like you wake up one morning and be like, we're done with family dinner. We're done eating together. But little by little, life happens and busyness happens and jobs happens. And I get it, there's circumstances, but to put it on a spiritual level, that's how it happens. Little by little, we just stop going back to the table. The invitation is always there. The welcome is always there, but we don't have time to sit down anymore and fellowship. And we're finding our fellowship in other places than the table that God has prepared for us. The food's there, the seats are there, the good shepherd is there, but not everyone gets back to the table as often as they'd like to. Now, I know that's not everyone in the room, but it's more than should be. And again, I just want to remind you today, in just the first portion of my lesson here today, you're invited. You're invited. The invitation is for you. And to think that Almighty God, the Holy God, wants to spend time with me and wants to spend time with you. What an amazing thought that is. So the table is there. The food is there. But just about the time you are getting ready to dive into the goodness that is there, all of a sudden you notice you're not alone at this table. Nobody is at the table except you and the shepherd, but encircling you is a crowd of people. And they are a part of what makes this table unique because your enemies are still in view as you take a seat. All of your problems are there. The things that stress you out. You're surrounded by calamity and pressure and anxiety and addiction and depression and family collapse, all sorts of pain. And in the midst of all of that, the unthinkable happens. In the middle of all the chaos and the trouble, the God of heaven calls you by name and says, please sit down. I think this is an opportunity for our faith to rise up in moments like this. Even though I am surrounded by enemies, and even though I'm surrounded by that problem and that one, I can see it. All the issues are still there. I choose instead to recognize God has prepared a table for me, and I choose to sit down and fellowship with Him in the midst of it all. Can I just say that this isn't just a once-in-a-lifetime moment either? This is an experience that happens continually, moment by moment, for the rest of our lives. This meal is at the core of your intimate relationship with God, Almighty God. And you soon recognize and you come to grips with the fact God doesn't eliminate the conflict sometimes. God doesn't always remove us from the reality of our trouble, but He has promised to prepare a table for you in the presence of your enemies. Now, I think it's important for us to understand, yes, the table is there. The table is in the presence of our enemies, but the table isn't meant for our enemies. Meaning, there's not an extra seat there. Again, I mentioned this last week. Paul told the church in Ephesus, don't give any place for the devil. Give no place to the devil. Don't allow him an opportunity to drag up a chair to the table and take a seat. Don't let there be a place, a moment for him to capture. You know, some might say, Bryce, I would never do that. I would never allow the devil. I would never allow the enemy to do that. But let me tell you how quick and easy it is. Before you can even blink an eye, if you are not careful, all of a sudden you'll look and he's already pulled a seat up. Our enemy only needs the tiniest crack, just a sliver of opportunity, the smallest window of doubt, the smallest window of uncertainty. And just like that, it's no longer you and the good shepherd. There's an extra guest. One thing that's sad is that a lot of people have come to accept the enemy at the table as normal. No, they won't say it that, yeah, we, you know, I'm happy that the devil is involved in my life. We don't say things like that, but it comes out in other ways. You'll hear somebody say, that's just the way it is these days. Hey, we're all anxious. We're all driven and ridiculed by anxiety. Everybody has anxiety, Bryce. Life's pretty chaotic. Of course, we are strangled by worry. Have you looked at the news lately? How could you not be afraid of what's going on? That's how it comes out. We say it's normal, it's okay, because everybody is experiencing this. We have people that are even going so far as accepting false narratives about their worth to God, their worth to their family, their worth to society. We don't think people understand us anymore, Bryce, or value us, and we believe everyone is just against us. And before you know it, we are talking like the enemy and thinking the thoughts that he wants us to dwell on. Contemplating the new directions that he desires us to set out on. You see, we create a big problem when we grasp only the first part of Psalms 23:4, walking through the valley, but opt out of remembering what comes next, and that's that God's promise to be with us in the midst of trouble. Too many people take up residence in the valley. Okay? They decide, we're just going to set up shop. We're going to set up camp. I'm going to be here for a while. I may not even get out of this valley. This may be it for me. And so we just start to set up camp. We start to decorate the place a little bit. The curtains will look over here. I'll put this table right here, and this is where I'm going to hang this picture, and I'll move this over here, and we just set up, and we'll focus on our difficult situations, and that's exactly the moment the enemy prompts us to go another direction. Folks, we will go through something, trial, persecution, loneliness, and we think, I'm in the valley right now, man. I've been praying, and God hasn't come through for me. God, I've been praying for this situation, and God didn't answer it the way that I thought that he would, and I'm going to stay here. I'm going to be here for now. I've been obedient to God, and I haven't been rewarded as I hoped. You know what that is? That's the sound of a chair being dragged up to the table by your enemy. Someone who wasn't even invited to show up. And all of a sudden, this unwelcome visitor shows up. Let's say this. He's often quiet at first. Friendly, even. You might not even recognize him when he first sits down. Okay? It's just like, oh, another person. There's another guest. Church, the devil doesn't show up with a giant billboard that says, hey, I'm the devil. I'm here to destroy you, okay? There's not this, like, pitchfork that's neon blinking that he's holding that you're like, oh, man, that's the devil. That's not how he shows up. It's simply another person seated next to you. He sits down, and casually, it's hard to discern his true character. He often appears on your side in the beginning. You'll even hear promises of relief from your troubles. Paul described to the Corinthians how Satan masquerades as an angel of light. which means that the devil rarely comes showing his true colors. Someone whose sole purpose is to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. Instead, he takes the form of someone who's helpful, someone who appears to have your best interest at heart. And I know we've talked about this before, how we serve a speaking God, but we are up against a speaking enemy as well, and he'll talk to you. He'll speak to you. Hey, you doing okay? You don't look okay. How are things at work? How's your job? I don't know how you put up with those people. I don't know how you do it. You doing okay? Hey, he'll even quote scripture to you. That's what he did with Jesus. And basically he said, hey, check out this one verse here that's taken out of context. It's the big answer to what you're going through. How interesting it is to see the devil take scripture out of context. He'll use whatever devices are available in order to get his thoughts inside your brain. 1 John chapter 2 lets us know that the devil has three pitches. This is it. This is all that he has when it comes to his evil influence. Here they are: lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life. Okay? Oftentimes, our enemy appears empathetic. I mean, that's how he worked on Eve all the way back in the garden. He prompted Eve to question if God was truly good, and he showed her the forbidden fruit. He's like, surely God is withholding something from you, something that you truly need, he whispered. In whatever way the devil can gain access to your table, his goals, friend, are always the same. He's trying to gain access to your mind so he can destroy your soul. He wants to get inside your head some harmful thoughts that can be planted and grow unchecked and spill out into our actions. I know he shows up friendly at the start, but that's not the long game. Jesus said he was a murderer from the beginning. And Paul told Timothy that he sets snares that capture people so they do his will. I'm not trying to incite fear here today, and I'm not trying to frighten anyone here this morning or provoke any fear in your life. We don't fear the devil. We fear God and God alone. But just as much as God wants fellowship with us, so does our enemy. And we have to be so careful who we are willing, who we are allowing to just pull up a chair, who we are allowing to speak into our lives, who we are spending time with, because this enemy that we are surrounded by desires a seat in your life, and he's not coming to play games. Sure, starts out as an innocent conversation. You don't even think about it. But it soon leads to our destruction. The enemy we are up against, folks, is vicious and cruel, and he is always, always prowling around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour, and that someone is you. You. Not only, and I'll ask our music to come, not only does he try to take a seat at the table, he tries to unseat the one who you're seated with. You know, there are many examples in the Bible where people have lost focus, took their eyes off the ball, took their eyes off the prize, maybe didn't have the right prize in mind and lost their way along the journey. Think about Peter walking out on the water, taking his eyes off Jesus. Many other stories that we could look to. But I simply say that if we'll stay focused on who's in the other chair, see, the wonder of the table that was prepared for us It's not the food that you see. It's about who you're at the table with. And a lot of times when we think about God, we think about his benefits, right? We think about, oh man, God can do this and God can do that. And God, you know, because no doubt living for the Lord has its benefits. Can I get an amen from the church? Victory, freedom, peace, no fear. On and on and on. The list goes of the benefits of living for the Lord. But it's important for us to see from the start that the ultimate benefit for us is not God giving us something. It's God himself. That's the message. God is sitting at the table with us. God is walking through the valley of the shadow of death with us. God is speaking to us. God is comforting us. God is correcting us. It is God. Do you know who's at the table with you this morning? Yes, it's in the presence of your enemies, no doubt. But do you know who's seated across from you? Paul described him as the King of the ages, immortal, invisible, the only God. That's who's at the table with you. That's who's sitting across from you, friend. Job described him in comparison to the vastness of space, how earth is suspended as if over nothing, how God wraps up waters in his cloud and can cover the face of the full moon. God marks out the horizon and causes the pillars of heaven to quake. He can churn up the sea or blow upon the sky so they become fair. And Job said, and these are but the outer fringe of his works. How faint the whisper of him. Who can understand the thunder of his power? That's who's seated at the table with you. Your real reward is Jesus. The wonder and the power of Psalm 23 and 5 is that it's not simply a nice passage of scripture to put on a magnet and on a refrigerator, but seated there with you is God Almighty. Across from you sits our great King, and he alone is your true and best reward. It can be hard sometimes to recognize the voice of the enemy, and it pains me inside to see people that have fallen away, that have been deceived because they couldn't discern, they couldn't make out whose voice it was. It can be difficult sometimes to recognize. The devil, our enemy, he's been prowling around ever since the garden. Not really much we can do to stop him from prowling, but it is up to us to keep him from getting to the table. You have the power to speak faith that defies the whisper of the enemy. It's in you. It's in you. If you've been born again of water and spirit, his name is upon you. There's resurrection power in you, friend. You can speak. You can speak the word of faith. And I want to give you an opportunity to do that this morning. Would you stand with me right now? We have just a few extra minutes before we break and we go into worship. And this doesn't stop at the end of this message here. I want to give you an opportunity right now to lift up your voice with me. And I want to pray. I want you to pray right now. I want you to lift up your voice. I want you to maybe
take an analysis upon your life right now. Who's seated at your table with you? Who have you allowed to come in and speak some things that are false, to speak false narratives, to speak things that go against the Word of God but seem right at first and seem okay? Would you lift up your voice with me right now? And I'm asking you, I'm inviting you to open up your mouth and speak. Don't be bashful. God gives us boldness. We can boldly go before Him. And I'm asking you to do that right now, to speak a word of faith. Come on, in Jesus' name, I won't entertain your words, devil. I won't entertain your thoughts. I won't entertain your influence, but in Jesus' name, we don't have to let the voice of the enemy control the way we live. We don't have to give in to sinful desires. Come on, you have an opportunity to fight for the battle of your mind right now. I'm not going to lose focus on who's actually at the table with me. I'm not going to focus on my enemies that are still surrounding me, but I choose to spend this moment and this time with God. I choose to talk to Him and walk with Him and hear His voice.
Thank you for listening. Special thanks to those that give generously to this ministry. If you would like more information, please visit our website at landmarkapostolicchurch.net. But have a great day, and God bless.